incline to this, to incline to these beautiful stories of good fortune that others have experienced. Balanced, of course, by knowing also life isn't always happy and easy. This balance is essential in our life and in our practice. And no matter how dire or difficult life is, there's always something, some place of good fortune. It might be small by comparison to the difficulty. Sometimes it's like that. But even with great tragedies, there's good fortune. Our inner life, our life of practice, and outer life, the life of the world, requires patience, sometimes a lot of courage, and endless kindness. It's easier to access these when we can also access gratitude for the small things. The fact that even though our father's dying, we can have open conversations. Even though our health might be difficult, we have the support of others. That we have friends, that we have Dharma friends, that we have a practice. This is essential. And it's so underappreciated sometimes. For some reason, our minds, and there are good biological reasons for this actually, our minds tend to focus on what's difficult. And that takes up all of our internal space. But it just takes a little adjusting of the view to see that also, no matter what's happening, there is good fortune. Now, it might not be big by comparison to the difficulty, but it's there. And to rejoice in this, and that word is actually, we use that word a lot, but that might feel too big. Often it is. But just to feel glad that there is good fortune in the world. Feel into your body right now after hearing all those beautiful stories. Reflect about, remember the stories that people just told. How does it make you feel? It's uplifting, isn't it? It really helps. When I came out of retreat, now almost a week ago, I had been in a very, very quiet place. And one of the first things somebody here said to me, which I don't know why they said this because I was like, whoa. They said, "Oh, have you heard about Maui?" And of course I hadn't. I'd been in retreat. I didn't know anything, what anything about what had been happening in the world. And I thought, oh, something bad. People here know about Maui. Well, what's going on? I thought maybe, a mass shooting or something. But of course, it was worse than that. Immeasurably worse, these fires that consumed a whole town that I knew and loved. And immeasurable human and animal suffering as a result. I'm still coming to grips with it. I've been avoiding the news. I don't want to go there because it's too intense. But yesterday, finally, I started reading and looking at a few videos. It's like, whoa. And in situations like this, though, there are heartwarming stories of support. Even as dire as this situation has been, I was so touched reading a story this morning about how people are coming together to support each other directly. And in the worst of possible situations, caring for each other. This is good fortune in the midst of a hell realm, actually. And this is no small thing. This is how we stay alive and sane as human beings. And to remember that is what allows us to connect with the difficulty, actually. It gives us a balanced place, a place where we're not drowning in, oh, how horrible that is. Because it's easy to drown in that, to lose ourselves in that. The Buddha spoke very, very clearly about the path in his first discourse after his awakening. He spoke of the Eightfold Path, this beautiful path we walk of practice and life. And how, as we do this, we're continually faced with the Four Noble Truths. Noble because they are ennobling, because they lead us to deeper and deeper and deeper insight and wisdom and kindness and compassion and open-heartedness in the world. But, the First Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of Dukkha. Oh, goody. How fun is that? This is exactly what we want to avoid. Connecting with difficulty directly, immediately, understanding the way the world is, internally and externally. And in order to maintain balance, this capacity to connect with even a small moment of good fortune is so balancing. Yes, there is dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, that little rub where life can't give us what we want, that difficulty, all the way to intense suffering. Yes, that exists, and that's our doorway into wisdom. But side by side by side with that, there is good fortune. There is spiritual friendship. We can meet like this and talk about this, reflect about this, see each other again, practice together. No matter where we are, some of you, your backgrounds pretty much stay the same. Others of us, we move around, but we can still come together. And I have to say, when a familiar background changes behind somebody, I go, oh, Iris, this is different. Oh, Riette, where are you? And I know Ekaterina, it's like, oh, wherever Ekaterina is, Go back in Georgia, okay. No, we care about each other. If we've never met in person, some of us have, but some of us haven't, but we care. Isn't this good fortune? And we can appreciate each other for the support we give and get. It's so wonderful. We have this spiritual friendship. Even if we have difficult circumstances, ill health. Those of you who live in Belgium or Holland or Italy, you've got a good medical system and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. If you get sick, you're going to be taken care of. That's really good fortune. You can take time off if you're not well. Not everybody can. That's really good fortune. Living in the West, we have so much. And so to connect with our own and each other's places of gratitude is such an amazing support. It keeps us from drowning in that dukkha. It gives us patience and gladness. It supports the courage that we need to practice. And for ourselves as well, internally. Life isn't easy for anybody. And life is harder for some of us than others, but life has always got its challenges. And certainly the practice, our deepening in wisdom and compassion. Oh my goodness. This has its challenges. It's supposed to. That's the way it works. You're not doing anything wrong when this happens. And how not to drown in dukkha when we understand it. When we see it clearly in our practice, this is no small task either. It can be very difficult, actually, when the mind is inclining to see the nature of reality again and again and again. When we hit these places of insight, we call them the dukkha-jnanas, the knowledges of dukkha. It can color everything. We think, oh God, I'm just getting depressed. No, we're not actually, but we just see the way things are. And we have to see that over and over and over and over again. That's not easy either. That's really hard. So to have places in our lives where we can connect with what's okay. If we're in that mind state of, whoa, everything is dukkha, there might not be a lot we can find. But maybe there's something. There's always something. It might just be the fact that we have the practice. It might be our dog or our cat that makes us chuckle. It might be the blue sky. Or the fact that it's not a dry summer like last year. There's green and flowers. And we have two arms and two legs that mostly work. This is no small thing either. We will lose everything we have in this life. That's the hard truth of life. We will lose this life itself. We don't like to think about that. But we have a practice that teaches us to constantly let things be the way they are and know that. To meet that as much as we can with kindness and courage. Simply knowing what is in this moment, receiving it. Think for yourself right now what you'd be like without that in this world. I don't like to think about that because I knew what I was like before I started to practice. It's much deeper suffering, actually, to constantly be trying to control the world so that, you know, things are okay. You can't control the world. We can't control the mind. But we can train it. That's a source of joy. We have these wild minds that want to do what they want to do. That's their nature. They move, they change, they react. But think how you were before you practiced, before you encountered this beautiful teaching of wisdom and compassion that the Buddha offered us. And think of how you are now. That's a source of gladness. I guarantee it for each one of you. So, yes. Dukkha, that first noble truth. And fortunately, there are three others. Those three others are a huge source of gladness. Because when we focus so intensely on what's hard and we really struggle, if we practice with that, we see, oh, I'm holding on, I'm clinging like crazy to something I want that I'm not getting. Or something that went away that I wish hadn't, or whatever it is. I have a tickle in my throat that I wish would go away right now, but it won't. In fact, it's getting worse. That's a minor thing. But even major things are the same. Pardon me. Yeah, this happens. It's not the nature of life to behave. It's not the nature of life to follow our wishes. But how great it is that we can see, oh, I'm clinging to that. Pardon me, hang on. I'm clinging to that. And when we see clinging and we realize, oh, yeah, yeah, that's where suffering comes from. And the mind naturally lets go. It's like, oh, things are the way they are. And there's that little moment, maybe a big moment, but there's that moment of space. It's like, oh, yeah, the world isn't here to please me. And we drop into receptivity. The dukkha lets go. We let go of it. We let go and the dukkha stops. That's the way it works. These small, small, small moments are the source of a huge, huge amount of gratitude. Because that space that opens up Not everybody can access it. You can all access it. I guarantee it. I know that. Everybody here can. And yeah, maybe the clinging comes back right away. But we know the truth, the way things are. And we know the way to just be with that kindly, with courage. And patience and kindness. We know how to do that. And we know the path. We know where the path goes. And we know where it points. We might not know the future, our future on it. We might want it to be shorter than it is. That's natural too. We want to be awake tomorrow or maybe yesterday. But we can train the mind. That's the path. And we know where it goes. So we point ourselves in the right direction and just walk one step at a time. And isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Yes, the world is difficult, especially difficult. I mean, when I think back to 30 years ago, I think, wow, that was a different universe. We thought that was hard. Yeah. The circumstances of the world ask a lot of us. It helps not to obsess about how difficult things are, because that doesn't solve anything. It helps to not block it, of course, but acknowledge difficulty. Yes, our health. Yes, impermanence. Yes, the climate. Yes, our family and the difficulties there. Yes, sir. Whatever. And have a path we can walk so that we can be with all of this with an open heart, with a kind heart, with a courageous heart, and act and speak from that place, not the place of despair, discouragement, doubt, anger, ill will, fear, whatever else we might otherwise act or speak from. This is where the Eightfold Path leads. So we just point ourselves in that direction when we walk as best as we can. Remembering to notice the blue sky, the flowers at our feet. Even though we know they'll die, even though we know maybe tomorrow it will rain. To acknowledge the blessings in our life. Acknowledge the blessing of company along the way. And the blessing of this path, the very path we walk. This is our assignment in life. This is what life asks of us, to open to all of this and to find a way to balance in that. To find a way to be with it all, every bit of it. And keep going, just keep going. Even though we're asked again and again and again and again. To acknowledge the dukkha. The end of the path isn't some mythical place where there's no dukkha, where there's no difficulty, where there's no suffering in the world. The Buddha lived in a real world, but he was completely awake. And all the arahants since his time have all lived in a real world where there has been suffering. But the difference between an arahant and the rest of us is that their minds stay open and balanced and kind and compassionate no matter what. Staying connected with what is. They say in the Zen tradition, you know, the 10,000 joys and sorrows of the world, opening to that, being open to that, and being able to be wise and compassionate no matter what. Now, okay, we're not the Buddha. I don't know. I only speak for myself. I'm not the Buddha. Some of you may be, actually. Who knows? But we've all had glimmers of the Buddha. We've all had moments. Each one of us has had a moment. I know you all have, of that wisdom, of that compassion, that moment of enlightenment that might last a microsecond. But if we can open to this once, we have the capacity to be a Buddha someday. It's just a matter of learning how to access that. And that's why gladness is such an important companion along the way. I know most of you know very well the chant Metta Sahagatena. And this is the Buddha's description of his mind. I abide pervading all the quarters, all the directions, with a mind imbued with loving kindness, compassion, gladness, equanimity. This is how the Buddha responded naturally to the world, and this is how we can respond naturally to the world. So I want to close today with the wish that we can all live in that place. More and more and more. And I want to close by chanting that. I hope I can get through it. My voice being the way it is. Those of you who know it, please turn your microphones off, of course, otherwise we'll be in Zoom hell. But those of you who know it, please chant along with me. Inclining the heart to gladness, as we do. Metta sahagatena cetasa ekam disam paritva viharati tata dutiyam tata tatiyam tata chatutam idiyu damado tiriyam sabbati sabba tataya sabba vantam lokam metta sahagatena cetasa vipulena bahagatena apamanena awarena abhyapajena paritva viharati karuna sahagatena cetasa ekam disam paritva viharati tatadutiyam tatatatiyam tatachatutam itiyu damado tiriyam sabbati sabba tataya sabbavantam lokam karuna sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena apamanena awarena abhyapajena paritva viharati mudita sahagatena cetasa ekam disam paritva viharati tatadutiyam tatatatiyam tatachatutam itiyu damado tiriyam sabbati sabba tataya sabbavantam lokam mudita sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena apamanena awarena abhyapajena paritva viharati upeka sahagatena cetasa ekam disam paritva viharati tatadutiyam tatatatiyam tatachatutam itiyu damado tiriyam sa May we all abide with metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, and deepening wisdom in this challenging world. Thank you so much for your presence today, this morning, this evening, nighttime here. Heartfelt thanks for your practice. Thank you for taking it out into the world. May you all have a good Sunday wherever you are.
Thank you.